Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture blog, Monkey See, and I'm here in the studio with Stephen Thompson, who's a writer and editor with NPR Music. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
Well, we have news today of the death on Wednesday of prolific and versatile director Mike Nichols, who died at the age of 83 after a long and varied career. So Stephen and I wanted to spend a little time talking about the work of Mike Nichols, which we both have varying attachments to, I think, for different reasons.
Yeah, I was really hit hard by the death of Mike Nichols. I certainly loved a lot of his films. There were certainly many to choose from. I mean, everything from, you know, The Graduate and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf into, you know, this string of huge hits in the 80s and 90s, like Working Girl and, mm-hmm. and The Birdcage.
He was a very prolific guy.
Yeah, and I certainly loved a number of those films, but for me, the most personal attachment to Nichols's work was his work as a comedian with Elaine May. Mm-hmm. When people talk about, you know, the great comedians of the kind of the middle of the 20th century, and they, you know, they're immediately talking about these great records by Bob Newhart and Richard Pryor and the Smothers Brothers and Woody Allen and all these great stand-ups, mm-hmm. you know, of that era. And I think that for some reason Nichols and May don't always get the credit that they deserve.
The one that I was watching this morning that I know is one that you like is I was watching a performance of it on the Jack Parr Show.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were doing this bit about this, well, she calls herself the Grief Lady.
The Grief Lady sketch is actually woven deeply into the fabric of my family's, you know, just my family history. It's a bittersweet story, but basically they have this sketch where Elaine May is selling caskets.
Welcome to Long Dust. Can I help you?
Yes. I read your ad. I'm interested in the $65 funeral.
Was that for yourself?
And Mike Nichols is the grieving, he's the grief-stricken loved one, but he's also trying to get out of this on the cheap.
Yeah.
And he's largely a straight man. He's just lobbing the ball up in the air for her to slam through the net.
Before you go, Mr. Mazofrine, I was just wondering, would you be interested in some extras for the loved one?
What kind of extras?
Well, how about a casket?
He's wonderfully in character, but also trying not to break mm-hmm. because she's so funny. And when my father died about 20 years ago, my mom and sister and I were in the funeral home shopping for caskets, which is this incredibly morbid and frustrating, just an aggravating task because they're constantly trying to upsell you and it's awful. And the funeral director leaves the room and the three of us are walking around and my mom recites that routine basically from memory.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, she's reciting it from memory from having seen it on the Jack Parr Show 30 years earlier.
Yeah.
This was before YouTube. This was before...
It wasn't on any of their albums at the time, I don't think.
It wasn't on any of their albums. And so it wasn't until years, you know, later that I was able to obtain a copy of it, you know, to share. But she did it remarkably well from memory. And so we're walking through the funeral home as my mom is reciting this bit and we're falling over laughing. I'm sure the funeral director has seen all sorts of emotional
right.
responses, but it was like, what is wrong with these people? it was, you know, that was great. But I mean, the language that I share with my mother, you know, not only that, but the phone call home to mother,
mm-hmm.
again, where Elaine May is the incredibly emotionally manipulative mother,
yeah.
and he's like a rocket scientist, but she's still sort of disappointed in him.
Yeah. You know, I think when you tell that story, one of the things I like about that story and one of the reasons I think it's important to talking about somebody like Mike Nichols is that, you know, people who come out of comedy and people who do a certain amount of comedic work leave legacies that are just as profound and important and special to people as anybody who kind of is doing the most serious and the most instantly recognized as the highest of art. And certainly in his film directing, he never had any difficulty being recognized as a great artist. He directed The Graduate, as you said. He directed Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. He came to those things out of directing theater. He directed the original productions of a couple of really important Neil Simon plays. He directed the original productions of Barefoot in the Park and The Odd Couple.
Well, and he's an early Second City guy.
Yeah. And so to me, one of the things that I always notice about his stuff, and I think it's true if you go up, you know, from The Graduate all the way up through Working Girl, you get this kind of tension between that there is always kind of the positive side of the story, and then there is always kind of this undercurrent of sadness, which sometimes is very pronounced, as it is in The Graduate, and sometimes is really subtle, as it is in Working Girl, because mm-hmm. mostly Working Girl is an upbeat movie. It's a movie of the 80s. It's a year after Wall Street. And yeah. it very much embraces that kind of, you know, up and coming working girl in kind of corporate America. But when that movie ends and you see her in this tiny nondescript office, and this is her great victory.
Right.
There is, I refuse to believe that a guy who thought about things the way Mike Nichols did and a guy who had made The Graduate was unaware of the kind of ambivalence of watching that ending. And yes, it's a great victory and she's in love and she's happy, but at the same time, there's this...
Well, there's work left to be done.
Right. There are tensions and sadnesses in The Birdcage, which mm-hmm. is this kind of big, over-the-top...
Some of it has aged better than others.
Absolutely. Goofy kind of comedy, but there's a tension and a sadness to it. And yeah. I think one of the things he was really good at is teasing out those conflicts between kind of sadness and victory.
This is one of, what, 12 people who've won the EGOT?
Yeah.
You know, the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. You know, this was an unbelievably versatile person, but I think it all comes out of this very warm, very sweet comedy.
Well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or from your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda.